I believe you're going to find the message this morning to be interesting. I hope you'll listen to the whole program, the entire message. I'm going to be speaking from the book of Acts, chapter 20. Now, here's my subject. I'm going to talk about preachers and preaching. Preachers and preaching. And my subject is Paul the preacher. Now, the Apostle Paul was primarily a preacher. I know he wrote, someone said, 13 books in the New Testament. He organized churches. He gave advice and counsel. But Paul was primarily a preacher. He said, God sent me not to baptize. He wasn't speaking against baptism. He knew that baptism was a confession of faith in Christ. And he did baptize some people. But he said, that's not why God sent me. He didn't send me to baptize, to organize. But he sent me to preach the gospel. That's what God sent me to do, to preach the gospel. And on another occasion, he said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. In other words, what I'm saying is this. Paul was not a promoter. Paul was not an entertainer. Paul was not a politician. Paul was a preacher of the gospel of the free grace of God. That's what he boasted in. That's what he said God sent him to do. And that's what he declared that he was going to do until he left this world, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this, my friend, is our desperate need today. The church doesn't need more buildings. The church doesn't need more singing. It doesn't need more ball teams and gymnasiums. The church doesn't even need you. The church needs, the great need today, is some men called of God, sent of God, and separated unto the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's our crying, immediate need in this day. We've got entertainers, we've got executives, we've got promoters, we've got everything in the world in the pulpit except some preachers of the gospel of the grace of God, men who have been sent of God to declare the good tidings of great joy, the glad tidings of God's mercy to sinners. Let me ask you three questions. I want you to think about three questions. Now, here's the first one. How do we preach? How should a man preach? Humanly speaking, I'm talking about. A man has to be called of God and sent of God and given his message from God. But I'm talking about how should we preach. May I answer that for you? I believe a man, humanly speaking, must preach, first of all, out of his heart, or out of his experience, or out of his own knowledge. You can't preach Christ if you've never met Christ. You can't declare the glory of Christ if you've never seen the glory of Christ. This is what John said three times in the book of 1 John chapter 1. He said, that which we've seen, and that which we've heard, and that which our hands have handled, declare we unto you. I'm telling you what I've seen and heard, he said. Peter said the same thing when they told Peter and the other apostles to shut their mouths and don't preach anymore. They said, we have to preach what we've seen and heard. And that, I know that our preaching comes from the Bible, but it's got to come from experience. And we not only preach from experience and from the heart, but we preach in sincerity. God help us. If we're going to play games, let's play something else. Let's play Russian roulette and not leave any empty chambers. It'd be better off than playing with the gospel. You'd be better off than playing with the preaching of the Word of God, compromising the Scriptures. I'd rather play Russian roulette with a full-loaded gun than to compromise the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's preach with sincerity, and let's preach with plainness of speech. You know what the Apostle Paul said? I didn't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom. I came to you preaching in the demonstration and power of the Holy Spirit, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, that's how we preach. Well, what do we preach? Let me tell you this. What do we preach? My friend, we preach Christ and Him crucified. That's our message. God sent us to preach Christ. I'm determined, Paul said, to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's our message. We preach the gospel of the glory of God. Christ is our message. Now, here's the third question. Why do we preach? And that's what I want to get on especially right now. Why do we preach? Why do we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? Why am I here right now? And I'll give you three answers to that question. We preach, first of all, for the glory of God. The apostle tells us that whatever we do in word or deed, to do it for the glory of God Almighty. That must be our motivation. I'll tell you this, why a man preaches will determine what he preaches. If he's preaching to please men, he'll compromise the gospel. If he's preaching to pack a church, he'll preach entertainment and what men want to hear. If he's preaching to get a promotion or get a bigger salary, then he'll compromise the gospel. But if he's preaching for the glory of God, he is not interested in what he gains, what men give, or who comes. He's interested in one thing, glorifying God Almighty. Glorifying God Almighty. Now that's our first reason, better be our first reason for preaching, because why a man preaches will determine what he preaches. If he's preaching to please men, he'll take the edge off, he'll take the offense out of the gospel, he'll cut the corners, and he'll compromise. But if he's preaching for the glory of God, fearlessly and boldly and courageously determined to glorify God, whatever the cost, if it cost him his life, then he'll tell you the truth. Because he's got nothing to gain on this earth. He cares not what men think or what men do. He cares one thing, what God thinks. Well, we preach for the glory of God. Then we preach, secondly, why do we preach? We preach for the conversion of his elect, his sheep. Paul said that in 2 Timothy 2:10. He said, talked about his sufferings and trials, and he had been beaten and shipwrecked and stoned and scourged and all these things, put in prison. But he said, I suffer these things, but I endure all things for the elect's sake. That's why I endure them. I endure them gladly. I endure them patiently. I endure them for the glory of God, but I endure them for the elect's sake, that they may hear the gospel, that they may learn of Christ, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Jesus Christ with eternal glory. But I'll tell you a third reason why we preach. We preach to fulfill our responsibility to all men. When Paul left the church at Ephesus, I'm going to read it in Acts 20 in a minute, he said, I am free from the blood of all men. I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. I am free from the blood of all men. I have preached to you the whole counsel of God. I've kept back nothing through fear of men, through seeking applause or favor, through covetousness. I've kept back nothing. I've hid nothing. I've withheld nothing profitable unto you. Therefore, if you believe and are saved, I'll rejoice. If you do not believe and perish under the judgment and wrath of God, you're fully responsible. I'm not responsible. My hands are free, clean from your blood. I preach the truth to you. Now, you think about those three things. You write them down and you study them. If you're a preacher, you better give some attendance to them. How do we preach? Out of experience, out of sincerity, out of plainness of speech. What do we preach? Christ. That's our message, Christ, the person and work of Christ. Well, why do we preach? Why do you preach? Because it's a job, because it pays well, because the work's easy, because you're famous, because for the glory of God, for the salvation of his elect, and to deliver my hands and my soul from the blood of lost men. Now, when Paul was leaving his friends at Ephesus, Paul had preached to them, and now he was going to Jerusalem, and they knew, and he knew, that they would see his face no more. They knew and he knew that they would never again hear him preach. They knew and he knew that Paul was going to his death, and this was his farewell message. This was the last time these people ever heard him preach. And it's interesting to note the things that he calls to their attention, the things that he says in summing up his ministry, in summing up his work among them. He doesn't stand around and brag about how many people he won to Jesus or how much bigger the church was now than when it was when he came there, and what it was when he came, or the buildings. They built a new educational building and a new gym and a new pastorium and sanded the floors in the gymnasium and put a new coat of lacquer, you know, and organized another Sunday school class. I want you to listen to what Paul said. We're such foolish creatures. We're talking about things that aren't worth a hill of beans. And we need to get back to the Word of God. You know that? Listen to what Paul says in Acts 20, verse 18. The first thing he said, now, he said, you won't see my face again. You won't hear me preach again. I'll never see you again. But I want you to know this. While I've been with you, verse 18, I have served the Lord with humility of mind. I want to know, why is humility of mind so difficult for us to learn and to practice? Now, I'd like to know why. I'd just like to know what any of us have to be proud of. John Newton once said, a proud believer is the most inconsistent thing this side of hell. And I believe that's so. Who maketh you to differ? What do you have that you didn't receive? Listen to the Apostle Paul. I am what I am by the grace of God. He said, well, I'm not worthy to be an apostle. I was a blasphemer. I was injurious. I persecuted the church. What right do I have to claim worthiness in preaching the gospel? Why, he said, I'm less than the least of all the saints. Our Lord said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. What on earth do we have to be proud of? I see these proud and cocky and arrogant preachers, and I think, under God, what right have they got to be proud? They ought to be the most humble men in the world. To be gifted and to be trusted and to be sent forth to tell people the good news of Christ. I have served the Lord with humility of mind. I tell you this, we ought to be conscious of three things. Every one of us who handle the Word of God. We ought to be conscious, first of all, of our own imperfections and sins. That's exactly right. We need to needn't act like holier-than-thou people or pious people or Pharisees. Richard Baxter once said this, I preach as one who may never preach again. I preach as a dying man to dying men. Have we learned that? Our own imperfections, our own sin, and another thing we need to remember, our gifts are all borrowed. They're not ours. They're His who gave them to us. Do we have the ability to sing? God gave it to us. Do we have the ability to preach? God gave it to us. Do we have eyes to see and ears to hear and legs to walk and hands to move? Do we have any sense at all? Do we have any understanding of the Scripture? God taught us. If it weren't for His grace, we'd be babbling idiots. A lot of us are anyhow, you know. But if without His grace, we'd be nothing. We are totally dependent on the Spirit of God. I tell you, it shouldn't be difficult for a man to serve the Lord with humility. The thing that ought to amaze every one of us is that God would even consider us, that God would even have us, that God Almighty would even look with favor upon us, that God Almighty would even let us take a message to one of His children, that God would take such foolish earthen vessels of clay and use them to give the water of life to a thirsty sinner. Thank God. Paul said, we're nothing. We're nothing. He uses that. He said, I'm not one whit behind the chief apostle, but I'm nothing. That makes the chief apostle not much either. And then secondly, in verse 20, he says this, I kept back nothing, nothing profitable unto you. Now, my friend, watch this word profitable. I kept back nothing profitable. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It is not my place to censor the Word of God. Now, a lot of preachers are doing that. But it's not my place to censor the Word of God and feed people what I think is good for them, or what I think they ought to hear, or what I think they ought to know. Paul said, Timothy, preach the Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is profitable for doctrine. Somebody said, don't preach election to sinners. Is it in the Bible? Then preach it. All Scripture. Well, you don't preach sovereignty to children. Is it in the Bible? Preach it to children. Who are you to censor the Word of God? Who are you to determine what a person ought to hear or should hear or can hear? You're not God's private secretary. Just preach His Word. If it's there in the Word, preach it. That's what Paul said, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. I've kept back nothing profitable unto you. Notice verse 27, I have not shunned. I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Now, he didn't say he preached all the counsel of God. Not anybody knows all the counsel of God. But he said, I haven't shunned to do it. What I know, I preach. What God has shown me, I preach. What God's revealed to me, I preach. What God has written, I preach. What I know, I preach. I've not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. None of us preach with the power we desire. None of us preach with the compassion we covet. None of us preach with the wisdom we need. But I'll tell you this. May every preacher be able to say, I have kept back nothing profitable unto you, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of men. I read the story one time of a preacher, true story, by the name, preacher's name was Dr. Guise, G-U-I-S-E. He was pastor of a church over in England 200 years ago. He was a very learned man, a very educated man, a very pious man. And he pastored this church for 20 or 30 or 35 years, and it was so dead. People didn't have anywhere else to go, didn't have any televisions or movies or newspapers or radios or automobiles, and everybody went to church, but they just sat and slept under Dr. Geis's ministry. He read his sermons. He was so deep and intellectual and dry and theological. And this is true. One Sunday morning, he got up to preach. And before he brought his written thesis, he bowed his head to pray. And the old gentleman, while he was praying, went blind. When he raised his head and opened his eyes, he couldn't see. And he stood there before his people and he said, I'm blind. I cannot see. Couldn't see his notes. Couldn't see his manuscript. He stood there and began to weep, and tears ran down his cheek. And for the last time, he preached to them, but he preached out of his heart. And he told them about the grace of God and about the mercy of God for sinners and about the death of Christ. You see, he couldn't read that intellectual manuscript that he'd prepared for the people. He just preached to them out of his heart, out of his experience, the gospel of Jesus Christ. For about 30 minutes in that congregation, for the first time in years, heard the gospel with compassion and affection, and the people wept, and some people were saved that morning, came to a knowledge of the gospel. They never heard it before. And after he'd finished preaching, two of the deacons went up to help him off the pulpit, one of these high pulpits, and they were walking down the stairs, and one deacon was heard to say to the other, what a shame, the old man didn't go blind 20 years ago. Maybe we'd been hearing some gospel all this time. Will we have to go blind to stop reading dry, dead, intellectual manuscripts to people? Let us not fear men. Let us not seek possessions and applause. Let us have no desires for impressive statistics and results. Let us preach the gospel, the whole counsel of God. I ask you, my friend, is God sovereign? Is He almighty? Is He omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient? Is He eternal? Preach it. That's right. Just preach it. Is man a fallen, depraved creature? Did he die in the Garden of Eden? Did death and condemnation and judgment pass upon all men, both imputed and imparted to them? Are they totally unable to think anything holy or do anything holy or please a holy God? Are they without help, without strength, without hope, without God, dependent on His sovereign mercy? Is that so? Then preach it. Then preach it. Is salvation by grace alone, apart from works of any shape, form, or fashion? Paul said, if it's by grace, it's not of works. If it's by works, it's not of grace. Is it by grace alone? Then preach it. Don't be afraid. Don't compromise. Just preach it, just like it is. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Is Jesus Christ God Almighty? I'm not talking about just a Son of God. I mean God in human flesh. Then make it clear. Preach it. Is His blood effectual? Is it sufficient? Did it pay for our sins? Does it redeem His people, all who believe? Is our hope built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness? Then preach it. Is salvation a new birth? Is it a decision or a new birth? Is it regeneration or church membership? Is it regeneration or a reformation? Well, if it's regeneration, preach it. Is Christ the only mediator? Is there no purgatory? Certainly not. Is Mary no mediator? Certainly not. Is no man in a religious office infallible? Certainly not. Then preach it. Then preach it. Is Christ the only mediator between God and men? Then preach it. Is baptism by immersion a confession of faith in Jesus Christ? Is that the way the early church baptized? Then preach it. Is the Lord's table actually the body and blood of Christ, or is it representation, symbolic? Then preach it. Does the Holy Spirit dwell with all believers? If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Then preach it. Will Christ come again, literally, in the flesh, like he went away, to receive his people? Is there a resurrection of the dead? Is there a heaven by God's grace and a hell under God's judgment? Then preach it. We have no choice. This is God's word. Without fear, without compromise, without seeking to please men. If I please men, Paul said emphatically, dogmatically, I am not the servant of Jesus Christ. And that's what I choose to be, the servant, the bondslave of Jesus Christ. He's my idol. He's my refuge. He's my God. He's my wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. I believe God. I believe the Word of God. If one page in the Bible is not true, I'll throw it every bit away. It's God's Word. A man lay dying one time out in the Midwest. He'd been a member of a church out there for many, many years. His pastor went to see him. He knew he was dying. His pastor knew he was dying. His wife knew he was dying. This was the last visit between these two old friends. This man had been his pastor for many years. And before he left the room and had prayer with the man, well, he shook hands with him and he said to him, as he looked him in the eye, both of them were brokenhearted, tears in their eyes. It was a sad parting. But he looked him in the eye and he said, Fred, are you saved? Are you saved? You know what that man replied? He said, I am, if you told me right, preacher, because I believe what you preach. Oh, what a heavy, humbling responsibility that's laid upon those who stand in the pulpit. God have mercy if they compromise, and he won't. God have mercy if they're afraid of men, but he won't. God have mercy if they're seeking to keep their job and hold their house and family together. God have mercy, but he won't. Hell's not too hot for a man who will compromise the gospel out of fear. That's just so. Now, Paul said, I've kept back nothing profitable unto you. I've not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. And then in verse 32, he said, brethren, I commend you to God. I commend you to God, listen, and to the word of his grace, to his word, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. I commit you to God. Now, don't come to me. I can't save you. Don't come to the altar. The altar can't save you. Don't come to the baptismal waters. The water can't wash you. Well, where shall I go? Go to Christ. Christ said, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Look unto me, and be ye saved. Somebody's getting between the sinner and Christ. We're shaking hands with men. We're kneeling before men. We're making our profession to men. We're making our decision at the hands of a man. Somebody needs to seek the Lord, to look to him. He's the Savior. He alone can redeem. He alone can show mercy. He alone can make you whole. He alone can speak peace to your heart. You have no peace. You haven't dealt with Christ. You've been dealing with those soul winners. Paul said, I commend you to God. And then I commend you to the Word of God. We do men an injustice. Now you listen to me. I'm going to speak frankly and plainly. If you don't hear me, it's your own fault. We do men an injustice to keep pressing upon them our booklets on how to be saved, how to be born again, how to get started right, how to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You know what Paul said to these people? He said, I commend you to God and to his word. Why don't we lay our books aside and tell people to bathe themselves in the scripture, to bury their faces in the word of God? This is the true word of God. Our books on how to is nothing in the world but the deception with which we've been deceived. You don't need any how to books. You need the word of God. He said, my word will not return void. Now listen, Paul said, I've coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Verse 33, I haven't coveted anything you've got. This world has a legitimate complaint against pastors, preachers, churches, and evangelists who are forever holding out their hands for a donation. It's got to be a million-dollar enterprise. Religion is a multi-billion-dollar business, and that's what it is. It's show business. And it's become sickening. It's become disgusting to see preachers and churches become professional beggars in the name of the Lord God. It's so sad. We're selling records and lapel pins and trinkets and religious toys and good luck charms and overpriced books and Bibles. We're even selling bricks and pieces of land to people who'll never see them. We're organizing clubs and promising blessings, even healing and salvation in return for a dollar. We're having candy sales and bazaars and car washes and everything else for a dollar, and this is evil. And I'm going to tell you the truth. It's contrary to the Word of God. If God does not and cannot meet the need of His church and of His gospel and of His preachers secretly by the free will gifts of His people, then we're not His people and we're not in His will, and we better close our doors. That's the fact. You read the Word of God. He says, My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Jesus Christ. I'm saying that this money-making scheme of selling pens and books and overpriced Bibles and all these things is not of God. God's way of supporting His work is not to barter and to market and to sell. It's giving, giving, giving out of the heart of the people. Willingly, lovingly, because they love the gospel. And God will meet the need of His church and meet the need of His program. This is the ninth year of this program. We've never sold a lapel pin or a record. We make these tapes of the broadcast. They cost $2 to make them, produce them, and send them. And we send them to you for that. But God will meet our need. I know He will. And if you want this message, that's all your sins, $2. We'll make this tape and send it to you and the one I preached last Sunday. The title of the message is Paul the Preacher. Until next Sunday at this same time, I bid you a pleasant good morning.